everyone, and welcome down to episode 114 of the Down South Photo Show with me, Brendan Waits, here in Ocean Grove, Victoria, Australia, and the dude on your other screen or in your other ear, if you're listening to the podcast, it's Cam Blake in Hobart, Tasmania, Australia. Good evening, Cameron.
Good evening, Brendan. I'm just double checking something really quickly because are we 114? We are. Okay. I thought for a second
I could have been wrong. Who knows? We're a bit at sixes and sevens at the moment because we've had a week off. Thank you to our very loyal viewers and listeners for allowing us a little bit of downtime. There's been a fair bit going on, so we both needed a little rest.
It has. When you said welcome to episode 114, I'm like, oh, is it 114 or 115? And if it was, I was going to let you hold on a bit longer before I ruined it for you. So
yeah, no, thank you. Thank you for not doing that.
No. I'm good. I am in Hobart. Yes, we had a week off, which is great. I think it's good that we have a week off every now and then.
Oh, definitely.
And I don't think anyone really cares too much.
No.
But yeah, it was nice to have a week off. I think it keeps us fresh as well.
Yeah. And I put on the social medias if people want to give us any suggestions for freshening up the show, and no one really did. So business as usual.
That's it. No, I think
we actually got a lot of nice compliments, I must say. But
everyone said we're perfect and there's nothing else to do.
Well, that's exactly right. They're obviously delusional, and that's fine too. Speaking of the social media. Speaking of the Facebook, we put up their entries for the March comp for Blue Hour, and my goodness, are they pouring in, Cameron?
They are going well. I haven't had a good look at many of them because I've been a little bit busy in this week off anyway.
Likewise.
But it's popping up on my little preview thing every time I go in there saying, hey, look at this. So we have quite a few in there. I'm just looking how many entries are in there. We've got like 59 comments. Yeah. So that must be at least half of that must be photos.
Yeah. So I think there's 30 or 40 photos in there. So that's pretty cool. So if you would like to enter the March comp, Blue Hour is the theme. You can do that through our Facebook page. So go to Facebook, search up the Down South Photo Show, follow the page while you're there if you want to. Add a little comment under the pinned post at the top of the page.
I tell you what, there's some cracker shots in there.
There are some cracker shots. It's actually not a bad subject that we sort of impromptu came up with on the spot a couple of weeks ago.
Us impromptu, come on.
It, never would we ever.
This is going to be hard.
Well, they always are because our loyal viewers and listeners are very good photographers.
Yes, this is going to be, I think it's going to be one of the hardest ones we've had.
Yes, that's going to be tough, but that's all right. We'll certainly find out who the winner is. Let's launch straight into backgrounds. Cam, I think it's your turn to go first this week.
My turn to go first? Rightio. So I've just come back from a little getaway up to Darwin, up in the Northern Territory, hoping to get some storm photography and just sort of reassess the time of year to go up there in regards to our workshops and whether or not this might work better than the last time. But I got this little beautiful little kingfisher. It's a forest kingfisher from all reports. I had help the other day with the Latin name of it, but I'm not even going to bother trying to pronounce that. But this shot was taken at a place called Fog Dam, which is an amazing wildlife place. It's not a huge area, but you've got this lovely road that runs through these wetlands, and you could just literally spend hours there shooting all different types of birds, birds of prey, crocodiles, you name it, fish. There's everything there, jabiroos, the whole lot. But this little guy was sitting on the little tree there, and it was pouring down rain, so I might cover it up again. Pouring down rain, and I was in the rain waiting for him to do something. I was hoping he might fly off, but I just missed a shot where he fluffed himself up and had all the water spraying off him. But this was a bit of patience, and I like it. He's got a bit of water on him. He looks pretty happy. He's in his element.
That is an absolute cracker. I'm a sucker for a kingfisher. I think they're the most beautiful bird. They're great to photograph. I love kookaburras, so all the kingfisher family are brilliant. So you've got that guy, which is the forest kingfisher.
Forest. If I get him right, he'd be sitting on my shoulder. Look,
he is. He's telling you a little secret. And did you happen to see any azure kingfishers while you were there?
No, we didn't.
I'm assuming they're in that area.
I haven't seen him in that area, but they are not far away down the road in Kakadu. So there's a few different birds there this time that I hadn't seen last time, but beautiful spot. Really cool spot. And it rained a bit every day, which is typical up there at this time of year. But it was good. But after that shot, I did something a bit new. I put my camera into pro capture mode, which I have never done before.
Ah, very cool.
and watched my memory card numbers just go, and still didn't get him shaking his head. But I think that was more user error than anything else. But so yeah, that's it. And you're up high in your shot there. Oh, you're
Well,
gonna keep.
before we get to mine, I want to drill down a little bit more on yours. Now, you mentioned the word crocodile. I'm sure our listeners would be interested to hear about any close encounters with crocs up in the north. How'd you go there?
Pretty good. Yeah, we had a couple of encounters.
Mm-hmm.
So actually today, just on a Facebook page called the Friends of Fog Dam, there was a big saltwater crocodile hanging around up there. And yeah, so like you gotta respect the wildlife. You don't go walking in the water and you keep your distance and stuff like that. On the first full day that we were there, I went out to Fog Dam to try and get these shots of lightning. It was a bit of a storm going on, but it was all sheet lightning, so it wasn't really that great. And there's these little walking platform, little lookout things over the dam. So you drive along the road, you get out of your car, walk up a platform there, and that was all good. And we walked back to the car and got out and went to the next one, all in the dark. All these, it's very stormy, lights going off, thunder and lightning, very spooky. Anyway, the next day we're back out at this dam, and here's this massive saltwater crocodile just wandering around, and like. And I'm like, whoa, we were here last night in the dark. We weren't far from the car, but probably 10 meters walk from the car to where this thing was. It could have been anywhere.
Oh, look, it freaks me out whenever I'm in
Oh.
croc territory, which has it's been a while since I've been there, but I
Yeah.
don't know. That just could you imagine? That's yeah. But
Yes. But
they
then,
are brilliant to photograph. They're brilliant to see in the wild too. Like it's
well, I'm going to put up a shot on here, the shot I did get.
Oh yes. Well, we've
I
gone
don't.
double background. I like
Double
it.
background. So this one is a crocodile eating something.
Right.
Did
You
I
know,
show it? I
cover your
sent it.
face.
I'm building suspense here.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
I showed you this photo, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Okay. All right. Cool. So here is a crocodile. This is the same saltwater crocodile that apparently today has been trapped and removed, eating a turtle. He's got the
Amazing.
turtle in his mouth. It's terrible. Like it's sad, and that's nature, but. He picked up his turtle, and I'm thinking, does he crush the turtle or just swallow it whole? Like, how does he eat that thing? I wasn't going to get any closer to find out, but he gave it a good chunk. And well, what was really great about this whole region, it was like just this continuous flow of fish straight into this guy's mouth. Like he had nothing to do but just sit there with his mouth open. It was incredible. So yeah, we saw a few crocs. We didn't get too close to him, but yeah, they're amazing creatures, but the whole region's, yeah, it's pretty cool. So,
Very cool. And for those of you who are interested, Fog Dam is pretty close to Darwin. It's probably what, not half an hour, maybe even an hour
yeah,
drive
it's
out of
about
Darwin.
60K out of Darwin. Yeah.
A great spot, and on your way to places like Kakadu. So,
Yeah, it's on the way to Kakadu.
and it looks pretty accessible.
It is very accessible. And it's on the way to the Adelaide River where they do some of those croc jumping tours and stuff like that. So if you're heading out to Kakadu, we always stop here on the way there and back from our tour that we do. If you want to come and get shots like this or see things like this, we are going in December up to Kakadu again, the 1st of December. We have about three spots left on that trip. If you're keen to come along, we'll spend 5 days in Kakadu, but we'll go past Fog Dam both way in and out. So yeah, it's a cool spot.
Awesome.
I do like Darwin. I think I could live in Darwin. I reckon it'd be
Yeah,
pretty cool up there.
it's a cool spot. That's a fog with two G's, by the way. Fog
It
Dam.
is. Yep. Yep.
Nice one. Just briefly, because my background's a little boring compared to kingfishers and crocodiles. That's a drone shot. Isn't it funny? Drone shots have sort of fallen a bit off the radar, don't you think? Like they're not as
Yes. You
they're
don't see
not.
as many.
No, you don't. It's not as on trend as it was for quite some time, like 4 or 5 years ago. Don't know
Yeah.
what to put that down to. There's still some awesome photos to be had with your drone, but that's my neck of the woods there. You've got the old bridges, which are feature a lot in my photography around here, looking towards Ocean Grove from Bowen Heads.
My question is, I've never actually noticed that little pier down on the bottom right-hand side of the shot.
Yeah, the one that's next to the restaurant there.
Yeah, I've never realized it popped out that much. That'd make for a cool shot, just on
It
the pier
does.
there. Yeah.
It does. Yeah, I've got some really cool aerial shots straight down and from the jetty,
Yeah.
and it's a good spot for sunrise, actually. Should
Right.
get my act together and get out and shoot some more sunrises because I've got so many free
Now,
hours.
question without notice.
Please, I like them.
Are you allowed to fly your drone there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Good. Just
Next.
checking. Next, just checking. Just a question without notice, see if I can catch you out.
No, I am
Yeah.
allowed to flight there. I'm all clear.
Okay, good.
So, Cameron, we've got an interesting topic to talk about tonight.
Do we?
Yeah, I'm afraid we have to. Well, we don't have
Okay.
to.
No, apparently I agree to.
Yeah, if
Yes.
you've been keeping up with Cam's social media pages, if you've been keeping up with Cam's photography over the last, what, 10 years?
10, 15 years at least.
You'll know that Cam has been a very avid user and promoter of Olympus slash OM system camera equipment. And Cam made the announcement this week that he will basically no longer be supporting the brand, for want of a better way to put it, Cam. I'm sure you can put it more eloquently than that. But I think our listeners would be interested to know how that's come about.
Yeah, I think that's one way you could put it. So yeah, you're right. For the last actually for the last 25 years, I've been supporting Olympus, I guess. Dad worked there, as you know, for many years as a rep doing stuff for them. And so yeah, for the last many years I've been using them, and then in the last sort of 5, 10 years, I've been doing their little workshops and stuff like that. And yeah, originally, I guess the story goes back originally about 5, 7 years ago, I sort of approached him and said I wanted to be maybe a bit more official on board if I could, or be an ambassador or something like that. And that they weren't open to that idea, but they were happy to support me to do these Olympus days. And they gave me that bag of gear, which I was very thankful for. And for the last, half a decade, I've been running these days quite successfully. Start of this year, I decided to reach out again and just float the idea that I thought maybe something had to change with this little relationship. Because I think it was getting a little bit too one-sided with the work I was doing. And like, yes, I was still making money off the workshops, but I wasn't getting paid by Olympus. I wasn't getting free gear as such from Olympus. They weren't sort of filling up my bag of gear. They gave me that loan gear, but it wasn't mine. So yeah, back and forth for a few emails, and then it didn't look like it was going to change too much. I wasn't still on the radar to be officially on board with them, in that sense that I wanted to be. So I thought moving forward, it might be time for a bit of a change. I'm not going to stop using the brand. I still think their cameras are exceptional, but all the promotion and all the extra yardage and emails and getting people's gear from them and following up on stuff and answering emails and messages and Facebook messages, I'm just going to shut that down, for lack of a better word, and just focus on doing these single day workshops as an everyone's welcome type of brand, and move on from there. And yeah, like, I don't think there's been any sour grapes about it in regards to that. It has been a bit disappointing in sections along the way about what they've done and the direction they've taken with who they have appointed on board with them. But it's above my pay grade and probably a lot of other people's pay grades. So yeah, it's a bit of an end of an era. I actually felt a bit of a weight actually come off my shoulders when I finally pulled the band-aid off. You could use an analogy. It's like, I actually did use this analogy with him when I was talking to him. It's like, chasing that girl of your dreams forever, but she's just never interested. So it's almost like, well, what are you beating your head against a brick wall for? You might as well just go and do something else. So look, I still encourage people to, if you're looking to change brands, I think it's worth having a look at the Olympus or OM brand, absolutely. But I'm just not going to be their number one supporter in regards to that sense.
And I think it's important to make that distinction insofar as I'm still an Olympus shooter. I've got OM gear here, amongst other things, but I've got OM gear here. You're clearly going to keep shooting Olympus for the time being, OM system for the time being. And it's an amicable separation. However, I feel your frustration, and I felt it coming through. And we've obviously talked a lot about this over the journey, but definitely, I feel the brand could have done more to support one of its, major promoters of the brand. And it was a bit strange the way that they continued to shun any support. Like, some of the ambassadors who I'm sure are wonderful photographers, and nothing against them at all. It was just some of the decision making by the powers that be at OM System seemed to be missing the mark for the audience that they were trying to sell their camera gear to. And I thought you were one of the main drivers of promoting to that very audience which they were trying to target. So it did come as a bit of surprise to me that they weren't keen to help you out a little bit more.
Yeah, I think like I had a discussion with them a few years ago, and about this same sort of thing, and they were sort of trying to plug the gear to sort of young travelers traveling the world, you know, the sort of young hipsters, Instagrammers, all that kind of stuff. And in all my time, I've met hundreds of people and put hundreds of systems in people's hands, and I would say that I've never once put an Olympus system in someone who is below 30 or 40 in their hand. Like it's never that demographic that's buying. Clearly, they have a bigger visual on what markets they're selling into, and that's fine, and they're following that. But in all my time, I've never had anyone under 30 or sold anything to anyone under 30 or even 40 for that matter, on any of these workshops. So I was a bit with you. I think if I was to have a bit of a stab in the dark as to what I feel like's been happening, it's the company's very much driven to trying to get people who are young and traveling and lightweight and all that kind of stuff doing their photography and using their cameras. But I don't think that actually matches up with what real world is in
No.
regards to who uses it. If you look at a lot of the ambassadors at the moment, there's also now a bit of a drive and a push on to more bird photographers or macro photographers and things like that. So they've now sort of changed direction again and going more down the wildlife and macro scene. So look, that was one of the reasons that every time I sort of floated the idea, I got given a different runaround. You know, my girl of my dreams was like, oh, I'm doing my hair that night, or, you know, oh, I've got to go out for dinner with my parents. It was always that. And like, I think deep down your heart with everything else, you know when something's never going to work. And I think I was just hanging on for a long time, hoping that something might come my way. And I thought if I worked really hard towards it, which I have over the last 3 or 4 years, like really, really hard, that that might be rewarded. But you know, so be it. That's life. I'm not losing any sleep over it. I'm not losing any business over it. I'm not losing any friends over it. So
No. Look, it's hardly controversial, and it's hardly, that massive a deal that you can't, you're not going to fold up what you do. I mean, it's,
no.
you weren't relying, well, goodness knows, you weren't relying on them for anything like that. So,
No, that's right.
I think it's a good decision, and I think more importantly, though, it's a good decision moving forward because, you may have been getting a little typecast with Olympus, and that you might have had a broader audience, Canon, Nikon, Sony, Fuji, Panasonic shooters who, were like, he's more of an OM system guy. I might look somewhere else.
True.
And I think it's a good move to encourage those people to come along to a workshop, talk to you about photography. And it's ridiculous because you already did that, but it was just had a little bit of the OM system banner hanging over it. But that is gone.
It is gone. But what I will say is thank you to everyone that's come on the days, the OM days, and everyone that sent me emails and messages after I announced it the other day. It's been really nice to hear that support. But, you know, over the time, I reckon, I think I made a rough estimate that I'd probably put a couple of hundred systems in people's hands over the years. And I've never had one person, actually, I must admit, I've had one person come back and say, I went and bought that gear and I didn't like it, went back to what I was using. Out of all those people, everyone else has always come back and said, I love my photography again. I'm in love with this camera. I'm in love with this system. I'm actually going out and doing photography again. So, you know, take the brand name off the front, doesn't matter. But if that's what you can get from it, then it's awesome. But like I said, yeah, it's good. Move on. Like I said, not sort of stuck in a corner with them. Not there's no hard feelings. They've made a nice gesture at the end about some of the gear as well, which is lovely. And so I can thank them. Especially want to thank Ante, who's the marketing manager in Sydney there. He's been very professional about the whole thing. He's been very honest and forthcoming with what's going on. So yeah, we move on. That's life.
Nice. And the other thing, I think the point when we're talking about throwing it open to a broader audience for you as well, it must be said that Olympus early days were trendsetters in making the mirrorless system viable and making it available to a lot of photographers who wanted a more compact setup. And lo and behold, all the other brands have followed suit. To pretty much every brand of camera now has a mirrorless system that is small-ish, lightweight, and compact. If only they could make their lenses smaller, but that's another story. So, kudos to OM System for doing that. But yeah, I think it's a good time for you to spread your wings.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's like I said, it was a bit of a funny decision at the end, but yeah, we move on. It's the end of an era, really, and yeah, look forward to seeing what else. So, but I'll tell you now, if you're Nikon or you're Canon or Sony or Panasonic, don't come knocking because I'm not interested. not that I will. I know I had a nice chat with Nikon over at
He speaks
BFOP.
for himself.
Yeah. Speak to Brendan if you want to if you want to sponsor the show, though. No, I had a really good chat with Nikon at BFOP and after BFOP, and that was one of the pivotal moments for this whole decision was when I spoke to them and just the conversation I had with them. They weren't throwing stuff at me or anything like that, but this conversation was completely different. It was a conversation of support and interest into what I was doing, which was a nice change. But then it made me start thinking, oh, okay, you know, maybe there is other girls out there.
Plenty more fish in the sea, Cam.
There is, that's right, absolutely.
Yeah, and so, it'll be interesting to see where we go from here. Like, you know, I mean, I've shot Olympus for a long time as well, prior to going to Nikon and Canon gear, and then came back to Olympus when I wanted to do a bit more hiking with yourself over the last 12 months.
Yeah.
But it'll be fascinating now, you know, the blinkers are off for you now as well, and you're seeing just what kind of gear there is out there. And goodness, man, like there's some incredible equipment out there.
Like that cat's like stuff.
Like that Fuji in your hands.
Yeah. Look, I've and this is something that I think taking these blinkers off, like you're saying, and the restraints a bit, I think what will actually happen, it'll actually cement more to me, or actually probably cement more to people that look at me and see that I actually do believe that that Olympus system or the OM system is the best on the market for what I do.
Yeah.
Like it's an incredible system. And now that there's no sort of perceived bias there that I'm part of the team or, you know, getting paid by or anything like that, I think people are going to see that, oh, you know what? He didn't just drop a brand and go to another brand. He's still shooting the same stuff and getting the same results.
Yeah.
Because it is good gear. Like this shot behind me, I was in the pouring rain with that big, beautiful white lens. Did not miss a beat. The focus was snappy. Everything was fine. No problems at all. So, yeah. Anyway, hopefully Nikon or Canon or Sony sponsor the show soon.
That's right. Or DJI, just for someone
different.
That'd be nice. They're nice.
That'd be okay, wouldn't it?
They do good stuff.
Yeah.
All right. If you want to comment about that, you know where to leave your comments below in the comment section below. Hit us up on Facebook or the social media.
If you want to send a comment through to OM Systems, I'm sure you can find their contact details. Go for it.
There won't be a link in the description.
There will not be a link. Absolutely not.
Thank you to all 770 of you for subscribing to the YouTube channel. Thanks for sharing the channel around. We appreciate it. If you've got a friend who's interested in photography and might want to listen to this little banter that we go on with every week, then by all means, hit them up, share the show with them, and we'll be forever grateful to you. Change of pace. Cam, I want to talk about focusing in photography. So I did a little one-on-one workshop this afternoon.
I
told you I was doing that, but
I
had a gentleman who's recently, mind you, an 84-year-old gentleman who had recently got back into his photography after 30-odd years.
Wow.
Sadly lost his wife last year, so he was keen to get back into his hobby of photography just to keep himself busy. For some unknown reason, he decided that he wanted to buy a Panasonic Lumix, which was an all-in-one system, built-in zoom, not an interchangeable lens system.
Right.
But it's got all the manual control and everything like that in it. Fantastic little camera. And he wants to shoot landscape. And he asked me a very poignant question. And that question was, when I'm taking a photo, a landscape photo, where should I focus? And I think the question overall was, well, I'm using these low aperture values. So essentially everything is supposed to be in focus, essentially. Mm.
Essentially.
Yeah. So where should I set my focus point? Now, because this guy had a camera with a 25 to 600 mil lens built into it, equivalent.
Jesus. Yeah, right.
Yeah. So it's, I think it was the FZ300 or something like that. So it's got a massive focal range on it.
Right.
It was a little bit tricky to explain to him, you know, because I'm so used to doing it with, you know, for example, 7 to 14 that I use, or the 8 to 25 or something like that. But he has such a massive focal range. And his question was very, very broad. And to explain to him that, okay, generally speaking, I will focus on a point about 1/3 into the shot.
Yeah.
Because generally, as a rule of thumb, that is going to maximize sharpness across the whole range of the lens at a high aperture value. Mm. That was a little tricky to explain on that exact lens. Am I making any sense at all, Cameron?
Yes, you are. Yes. Yes. I was just letting you dog paddle for a while.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
For me, that's generally speaking, if I've got a subject that happens to fall on the thirds, I will focus on a subject that is roughly a third into the scene.
Yeah.
And then basically let the lens do the work. Is that how you roll with it, Cam?
Pretty much. Yeah. So
Okay, next topic.
Yeah, that was good. That was great. Yep,
yeah, fantastic.
Everything about hyperfocal distance we've covered. Excellent. That's pretty much spot on. So it's funny. I have this conversation at every workshop, and we had it down in the Southwest the other week with a couple of people. And again, if you're looking to do a landscape shot and it's got some, I like to try and explain it where I divide my scene up into three dimensions, so to speak. So you got foreground, middle ground, and foreground. So usually getting a good composition will include something of each of those. And then, if you're looking to get maximum depth of field from the front of your scene, so if you've got a nice, big, beautiful rock in the foreground with some patterns on it and you want to get some mountains in the background, that's a lot of depth. So where people make the biggest mistake is that they let the camera just focus in the middle.
Yes.
And that'll point it somewhere, maybe towards the background or the bottom of the mountains. And if you're shooting at F11 or F16, that depth of field is just not going to catch that beautiful rock in the foreground. So what you said is exactly right. Usually about a third of the way into your scene at F16, usually is what I shoot, will give you enough depth of field to get that foreground covered, as well as those other two back dimensions, so your middle ground and your background. So where it gets a bit tricky, and this is where I sort of had a bit of a moment like you the other day when I was on this beautiful hill taking photos of these beautiful mountain ranges, and they all had their zoom lenses out. And it was just this mountain range, a little bit of a lake, and everyone's like, so I'm a third of the way in here. I'm like, well, not really at this type of shot, because we're really compressing that scene. Those mountains are almost just a flat plane of focus.
Yes.
So what we could do then is we could actually shoot like F8 or F5.6 and just focus on the front of those mountains, and because there's no real depth behind it. It's just, silhouetted mountains really. But then they're like, but you said about a third of the way in for landscape. I'm like, well, different lenses cause for different setups. So, but you're right. Yeah. If you're taking landscape shots and you've got a good bit of depth of field through your whole shot, about a third of the way in to put your focal point is good. And it doesn't matter where it is on that third.
Yeah.
Because it's a plane of focus. The focus is like, I try and explain it like with depth of field at 2.8, it's a real thin bit of glass going across that focus point. Or F16 is a thicker bit of glass. So it picks up more depth in front and behind. So, but it's a tricky one. People don't necessarily know that, and they still come back.
Yeah, and the reason I think it's tricky is because, like we said off the top, is early on, most landscape photographers will learn that the higher aperture number, so the smaller the hole, the smaller the opening, generally creates more depth of field, therefore more in focus.
Yeah.
And the second you rely on an autofocus system in your camera and you half press for it to focus, it uses, most cameras still use contrast autofocus detection. So, for example, the scene that's behind me here, it's going to pick up, things like this bridge here, which is because that's the contrast. You can see there's a definite contrast between the blue water there and the edge of the bridge here. So it's looking for contrast in the scene. And in this case, it's probably going to focus right here, which is, not ideal, because you're going to get fall off back towards this. It's hard to point at this. Back towards this foreground here, you're going to get fall off in focus back here. So,
and you're going to, what you'll lose that sharpness on that pier.
That's right. Again, we talk about sharpness, and you and I bag sharpness out a fair bit, like don't get over fussy with the sharpness, but you might as well get it right in camera to begin with and at least knock that out of the equation
Yes.
by And I try to avoid jargon, and it is, we are talking about hyperfocal distances, and it is, which is a bit of jargon, which is basically trying to get the maximum out of your lens sharpness back to front,
to back,
on your lens. That's what hyperfocal distance is all about.
Yeah. So the general rule of thumb with your depth of field, which a lot of people also may not pick up. So from wherever you put your focal point, whether it be in the middle of the scene, top of the scene, bottom of the scene, wherever it is, one third in front and two thirds behind is how depth of field works. So from that focal point, doesn't matter what F number you have on, the depth of field will be two times greater towards the back than it is to the front. So that's why if you're using F16, that's going to give you a large depth of field overall. You need to shift that whole two thirds, one third down. So, you know, the front third of that shot gets in focus and the two thirds behind also catch the focus, which is why we say about a third of the way in.
Yep.
Look, you can go into crazy details, and there is a formula for depth of field in that big book here, and you can do all the divisions and stuff like that. Photo pills is also a good one for giving you the correct hyperfocal distance. You can dial in your lens and your camera and stuff. I think with that, you don't have to spend months studying how that works. I think the rule of thumb that we've just put out there by focusing about a third of the way in front is correct. If you want that large depth of field, if you want, for example, a bird on a branch and everything else out of focus, you focus on the bird at 2.8 or 1.8 or whatever you might do, because you just want that depth of field to be very thin on that bird. But when we're talking about shots like yours, where we've got a bit of depth from that pier all the way to the back, about a third of the way in is the way to go. So yeah, I think almost where that deep dark blue bit of water is in the middle of that channel, near the bridge, is where I'd be focusing on there.
Yep.
And that way you get that pier in the foreground, the bridge, the little peninsula in the back, and then the city and stuff in the background.
Well, it's interesting as well, since in a 2 weeks since we've been on air, I've actually run three separate workshops. I ran my entry level one, we did another Glen Lavender one, and I did a solo one tonight. More than half the people on that workshop did not know that they could move their focal point.
Right.
So it's kind of interesting. I find with the workshops, and I think I've said this before, is I sometimes struggle with knowing how basic to go with the workshop, because I don't want to sound condescending. I don't want to, you know, but sometimes people just don't, you know, they don't want to say, oh, what do you mean move the focal point? What are you talking about? You know, and we take it for granted because we're professional photographers, and we kind of assume a lot that people probably should know that by now.
Yeah.
But the fact is they don't. And, you know, we've raised this before where, you know, people sort of, they're a bit afraid to come forward and ask those questions. And need to when you're on a workshop in particular.
I'll tell you who's been an amazing person to have around to watch from a totally different angle that we work at and our customers work at, and that's Five Star Dan.
I was going to say Dan.
Because he sits there, and he was never a photographer, and he was never really interested in doing trips and stuff like that, apart from when we invited him along. But he sits on the side and listens to it all. And one of the things he said to me after every single workshop, and this is not having a go at any of my customers because that would be detrimental to business, but he says one thing that he's noticed about a lot of the workshop attendees is that they either, one, they don't ask the question when they want to, or they ask the question but then don't listen to the answer. They get what's this, you know, focus point thing you're talking about, Cam? And you start explaining it. Okay, you got it. And they just walk off. It's like, no, you haven't got it. You need to, let's sit here and practice it a few times.
Yeah, and that's that human nature thing where they don't want to appear foolish.
And
they're not. You know.
Well, they're book trips with us, so they can't be too smart.
We don't expect people to know everything straight off the bat.
That's right.
You know, I like going into particularly my entry-level workshop. You know, the first slide in my entry-level workshop is how to hold your camera.
Right.
And you know what? Heaps of people do it wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's bizarre. I've got to remove myself from my 30 odd years of experience, and I've got to put myself in their shoes.
That's right.
And say, okay, it'd be like if, I don't know, what's a sport that I don't like? Tennis. Like, I don't play tennis. It'd be like if someone handed me a tennis racket and I was like, well, what do I do now? Like, I don't know. You know what I mean? It's got to be like that. It's got to be, you've got to go in there and just put all your pride aside and just say, no, I don't know what I'm doing. Let's get these building blocks and go from there.
And when you ask the question, like really dial into the answer. Like it's and this is the thing, you and I are exactly the same. Like there's no problem repeating things throughout a workshop. You know, you can ask me 10 times about something, that's fine. But if every time you ask me that question, I don't get to finish my explanation of teaching you and you walk off and do something else, that's where you're not going to learn. Like you need to really just take it in. And that's what Dan's like. Dan's comes up with some great photos now. Like he's actually quite a good little photographer.
Yes.
And I said, you're doing really well. And he goes, it's easy, Cam. I just listen. I'm
Yeah.
like, okay, it can't be that easy. He goes, well, yeah, it is. Like, you know,
Yeah,
what you explain makes sense.
even to the
And
point, little pro tip for you, when if you go on a workshop and Cameron or myself or whoever your teacher is explains something to you, immediately put it into practice.
yes.
Do it in front, like even if it's the wrong settings for that time of day, it doesn't matter.
Just do it.
Just do it and then go, now I see it, and then move on. It's like it opens the right filing cabinet in your brain and puts the information in there for later. It doesn't just bounce off and then get
No.
lost in that plethora of all that other information that you're trying to take in at the same time.
Well, I get a lot of people, they sort of ask, okay, so what settings would you use here, Cam? And I said, what are we doing? Landscape, cradle mountain, whatever. Cool. F16, ISO 200, focus point about a third of the way in, then work out my composition. Yeah, but what about this? That's all I do. That's all I need to do. Yeah, but what about this? Just do that first. Find the composition.
Let's get to the starting line before we push the gun.
And then let's see what happens. And then, you know, every time I can tell you almost every workshop, you say the F16, and I'll ask it like we're same thing, different day, different location, but same setup. So what would your settings be here? F16, ISO 200, focus point about a third of the way. And the other one is I underexposed by about one stop re religiously. Okay. And then the next day, somewhere. So, Cam, what about this one? Same as yesterday. Yeah, but it's like a different location. Yep. Same thing though. We've got depth in our shot. We want to use this. We want to maintain that sky the whole lot. And every time you do it, you'll go around to that person about 5, 10 minutes later, expecting to see F16 minus one, ISO 200, focal point about a third of the way in. It's on F7 point something. It's on ISO 1600 from the day before.
And a lot of that comes from, they look and there's a bit of panic there, and they start rolling the dial and they don't know what it's doing. And it's actually, instead of changing their aperture, it's changing their shutter speed,
Or
or
their
it's
ISO. Yeah, that's
changing their
right.
ISO, or whatever they've set it to, whatever they've customized the camera to.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's interesting. I mean, but I guess it takes really patient people like us, Cam, to run these workshops and get you taking good photos.
Maybe we could say it's patience. But I think like it all comes down to just practice. Like if you're not
Of
taking
course.
photos every week and religiously going out to your backyard or going out in the street or going to your local park or whatever and taking photos, then you can't expect to get really good at something. It's like golf. Like, you know, if you play once a week, you'd be okay. If you play every day of the week, you'll get better. So, and that's what you and I have been doing for the last 20 years. So people need to understand, I think this is one of the biggest things about photography that people still don't get. It's not an overnight success. If you want to make some really lovely photographs, you know, you might get one in a million that or one in a thousand people that comes along and gets it right straight away. But it's a work in progress and you need to practice and you need to learn, you need to fail, you need to do stuff, and you know, we've all done it. But yeah, if you're coming on workshops, I just think spend that extra time to listen to the answer. And like I said, dial it straight in, get it going there and then. So you can be right to go.
Absolutely. Once again, if you've got any questions or comments about the topics that we're talking about, please hit us up in the comment section below, or you can jump on our Facebook page and say good day over there. Cam, we've got a quick little bit of gear talk, and this is going to come
Yeah.
off as a little bit of bashing of that brand that you've left.
No, we're not bashing anyone. No.
Interesting, though. It is interesting.
If I start bashing these guys, we've got no one left.
Well, that's true. Car brands have been doing this forever, so why can't
Yes.
camera brands do it?
Yeah, so
And
that's a
that
good
is
question, is
that
it?
our friends at OM System have released their 150 to 600. Is that right?
150 to 600 f5 to 6.3 with image stabilizer.
And who is making that lens, Cameron?
I believe it might be Sigma making that lens.
Yes. So it's interesting that Sigma have designed and, I'm assuming, manufactured the lens. OM System come along and said thank you, put an OM sticker on it, and it's now an OM System lens, and they can charge $1,000 more for it.
Apparently so, yes.
That's pretty much it in a nutshell.
That's pretty much it in a nutshell, but I thought it was quite interesting. It's also heavier than the Sigma one, so I don't know how they've managed that. That's a good
Yeah,
effort.
that's kind of, is it just the mount must make it
It could
heavier?
be just the tripod mount, maybe.
Well, it
But
needs an extra element to modify it for the four-thirds sensor. So
all right, that's maybe
I
the
would
extra
imagine
glass
that's
that.
where the extra weights come from.
Yeah, possibly. But I thought it was interesting when they released that. I'm like, oh, that's a good one. And then I saw these things saying, oh, well, it's actually just a Sigma lens rebranded. And like you said, I'm sure there's some little tweaks they've put in there to make it more OM centric, OM focused. But I thought it was interesting. But you're right, the cars have been doing it for ages. But I didn't think camera, I knew Sigma making generic lenses for everyone, but not actually making a lens and then rebranding it to something else. I thought that was
So,
quite new.
for those of you playing along at home who know the Micro Four Thirds system, what we're talking about here is effectively a 300 to 1200 millimeter lens, optically stabilized with Stabe Sync. Now, what Stabe Sync means is that the lens is stabilized, the body is stabilized
Excuse
up
me.
to seven stops of synced stabilization, which is pretty impressive for a 1200 millimeter equivalent. Mind you, it's at probably what, F? 6.3.
6.3 it would be, yeah.
It is 6.3. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool though. I'd be keen to give it a whirl actually, and I want to try it on my EM1X.
Well, let me just reach out to, don't worry about
You
it.
can't anymore. No.
No.
No, never mind. Maybe
Oh, well.
someone will just send us, maybe one of my lovely customers will come in. Shout out to Ross, who came in 2 weeks ago,
Random
who came
shout-outs.
on. He came in, said g'day, and I said I'd give him a shout out on the show. Literally, a viewer of the channel traveling through the area from like New South Wales or somewhere
I tell
and
you what, you
came into
get
the
a
shop.
lot of people just rocking up at your
It's
shop.
fantastic. I love it.
Yeah.
It's so cool. And it's funny because they're quite like, some are quite shy about it. They're like, oh, I listened to the podcast. It's like, great, awesome.
I'd be embarrassed too.
Come and talk to me. It's fine. I
You know
enjoy it.
what? Out of all my travels, I haven't come across anyone yet saying, hey, I listened to your show. Not once.
I think people see the shop and that's fine, right? That's the beacon. That's righto.
Maybe.
That they
Yeah,
should go for
maybe.
it for that.
Maybe I need. You know what? We had that chat on the other day, which we need to do. All the camera shops around Australia, we need to get like little flyers in there for the show.
This is a topic for next week, I think, but
You know what? We
I'm
could
with
do it.
you.
Let's do a quick topic now. What we need to
Yes.
do is if you live in Australia and you have a local camera shop, drop us a comment and we will send you a file to print off. I'll
Yes.
take to that camera shop. We'll pay for the printing, but actually no, the shop will pay for it because that's them. But we'll give you the file, but you go in there and say, you know what, you guys should be promoting this show. Here's their file. Print out some little 6x4 cards that people can have on the counter. Away you go. And if you do that, and we might give them something, I don't know.
Well, if they do that and the camera store does that, we will give that
Yes.
camera store a shout out.
Oh, there you go.
How's that?
Even better. So, surely everyone li
Preferably it's a nice independent camera store.
So,
Maybe,
what are you saying here, Brent?
well, not one that's married to a big chain, perhaps. Maybe a little mum's and dad's shop. I don't know, like Ocean Grove Camera and Photo, perhaps. I mean,
So, what
little
is
little.
so if I, for example, there's a camera shop here in Hobart.
Yes.
Can't think of their name off the top of my head,
No.
but would they be one that you support?
Well, I think we go for the independents first.
There's not many independent camera shops, is there, though?
That's why we go for them. Won't cost us much. Yes.
Yeah, no. All right. Well, okay.
Anyway, no, we will support any camera store, of course. I'm being facetious, but yeah, I think that's a good challenge to people to go in and
Yeah.
vlog our little podcast to your local camera shop.
Why not? Saves us doing it.
Word of the week, Cameron.
Oh, word of the week. Yeah,
Photography
right.
word of the week.
Hey, how's that jingle going?
It brilliantly. Do you need to look this up again, or do you know what this means?
I've got it marked in the page here, paper
Okay,
here.
so
Yeah.
it's colorimetry. Now it's spelt color in the
Yeah,
American
yeah.
way of spelling it.
Yeah, put a U in there. That's it. Yeah.
Colorimetry, Colourimetry. Colorimetry. That's the word. What the hell does that
Calimetry?
mean?
Calimetry?
Well,
Better
all right,
read it.
so
I
this is
didn't.
where Brendan makes a fool of himself and has a guess at what that means. Well, it's got to be the science of color, right? I mean, you're measuring color. Is it got to do with color temperature, perhaps? Maybe? No. Are you still looking it up?
No, I'm just following what you're doing. I reckon you've looked it up a bit. I don't
No, no.
know.
No, I like making a fool of myself. Has it got,
Okay.
well, I mean, I
So
just break it down. It's color and it's metering, so it's your measuring color.
let me get
So
my
has
big
it,
book out. Yeah, look at
I
that
like the
one.
big book. The big book's
Yeah, right.
grouse. I want to get myself one of them.
I think you can buy them. Rightio. So calorimetry, whatever. So color is normally perceived as a result of light entering the eye. Most color objects are seen as a result of light reflected from them from a light source. The
Yes.
particular color of the object, depending on the different fractions of light reflected at all wavelengths throughout the visual spectrum. Calorimetry, I can't even say it, calorimetry provides means for converting those purely physical data, but pure physical data into physiological measures that correlate with various aspects of the color perception. So what does it mean? I don't know.
I think
I
it's,
think you are right. It goes
yes.
on to explain it's color spectrums and stuff and light sources and things like that. So it's the yeah color temperatures, for example, like daylight's 30 5600 kelvins. You know, fluoro lights are a bit more blue. You know, infrared's red and all that kind of stuff. So it goes through the wavelengths and color temperatures, and it goes on to a whole heap of other things. But you're pretty close. I think it's the science of color and how it's measured from various lighting sources.
Very cool. I like it. We don't have a deer cam this week, but if you have a deer cam, by all means, list it below. Get in touch with us. Beer donations this week, Cam.
Hey, before I got a shout out.
Go.
To Felix. Felix was on. Love the name Felix. And one of the good list. One of our great listeners of the show, Aaron, who is a BFOP veteran, has had a baby as well a few months ago. His name is Felix as well. But
Congratulations.
I want to shout out to this man. Look at this for a website card. That's a little, you see it? Oh,
Oh, it's a seal.
it's a seal. So this is Felix, who was on one of my workshops down the southwest. And we walked up a hill, and he's a lovely guy. He's 81 years old. And he walked up a hill that I struggled to get up and did it fairly well, which is embarrassing for me. But shout out to him. Beautiful little business card. And I just thought I'd give him a shout because I said I would.
That business card certainly gets our seal of approval. Beer donations, Cameron.
That's just shit.
I'm a dad. I can make jokes like that.
No, you can't. You're older than that. We have three beer donations this week.
Outstanding.
Susan N was one of them.
Thank you, Susan. I hope your canvas still looks as good as the day you picked it up.
And the other two, I think the person that maybe gave these two donations might be slipping a bit, because they made two donations within days of each other. So thank you, Mel, for I think he might have made a donation then forgot that he'd made one and then put another one in.
No, I know exactly why he made that second donation.
Do you?
I'll tell you off air.
Right.
G'day, Mel. You're a bloody champion and a good sport. I appreciate it.
Rightio. I'm
A little
looking
bit of
forward to that
housekeeping
stuff.
before we leave you. Thank you to anyone who's listened this far. It's always a pleasure.
It's always a shock.
We talk about the workshops every week. The Great Ocean Road workshop is sold out. The Murray Mallee workshop is up and available for you to check out on dsps.com.au. Go and have a little look-see, peruse through the website, see what you think, and come with us to an awesome part of the world, an untapped part of the world, for a brilliant photography tour in October.
Yes, October 15 to 19, I believe it is. That
Brilliant.
sounds about right. We had a
Sounds
great
good to
time
me.
last year.
We did.
And you know one thing I've noticed with workshops, and this is not taking away anything that we did last year at this workshop, but I think just out of natural progression, every workshop generally gets better at a location because we saw
Course.
we drove past those hay barrels in the ground. We drove
Yes.
past those wheat silos that we weren't expecting to stop at. So now we've got all these new locations that we've got that you
We
really
do.
can choose from. So this one will be a cracker. It's always a lot of laughs. Pretty much you're just supporting us playing golf at the Murray Downs,
Murray
but that's
Downs,
okay.
that's right.
Murray Downs, that's okay. But no, it was great fun. And yeah, October 19, 15 to 19, get on board, come
Go
along.
and check that out. Cameron, what do you got coming up this week, my friend?
Well,
Keeping your feet in Hobart this week, or?
just. Yeah, I am. No, so what are we? We're Thursday today. Not doing much tomorrow. Actually, I'm having a meeting tomorrow with someone who's from a camera club in Huonville down here.
Fantastic.
Remember the episode we did about,
I do.
what's wrong with camera clubs and how can we fix them?
Yep.
Well, I'm having lunch with a man to try and help him come up with some new ideas for the Huon Valley Camera Club.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. So I'm doing that tomorrow. And then the weekend and early week, I'm around here. And then I'm back down to the southwest for our second little southwest. You've got to come on
Of
this
course.
trip.
Look, I yeah,
Yeah.
every time I see that, it looks like an area that I would love to get
It
into.
is a stunning area down there. So I got one of those for a couple of days down there. And then chilling out. And then I think the next thing is our little thing, isn't it? The
That will roll around in April. Yes.
April. Have you booked your flights and stuff for that?
Oh, I better get onto that.
Maybe. I've got a Bruny Island workshop in between that, but
Fantastic.
that's it for now. Yeah, that's all I'm doing.
Love it. I'm in the throes of photographing a golf course
Yes.
for Ocean Grove Golf Club. So,
You're going to call it Royal Ocean Grove, won't you?
Royal Ocean Grove. Absolutely, it's Royal Ocean Grove. I love it there. So, yeah, it's been a challenge, Cam. It's been interesting, like, because it's not as easy as you think, because there's different needs they want for their website, and then there's the cool stuff that you want to shoot,
Yeah,
the
yeah,
creative
yeah.
artsy stuff that you want.
Yeah.
So it's we're sort of, there's a bit of push and pull there. So it's good. I'm really enjoying it. It's opened my eyes up a bit to that kind of photography. I was out on course last night,
Yep.
wandering around, dodging golf balls left, right, and center, and got some really cool shots last night. So
If they play anything like us, you'd probably be pretty safe in the middle of the fairway, wouldn't
Exactly. That's where I should just stand for all the photos.
you?
I did get an awesome photo of a guy shot that landed within 2 feet of the pin from about 100 meters out. I was hoping it went in the hole. That would have been pretty cool.
Right.
But
That sounds
yeah,
cool.
that's what
So
I'm up to.
you're doing like hole profiles and then other stuff as well.
Yeah,
Yeah,
there'll
cool.
be all of that, but a lot of the atmospheric shots that they use on websites and social media and that sort of stuff as well. So
Yeah,
basically the whole gamut, including the 19th hole.
right. That's a
Where
nice
we
19th hole, actually. It's good.
it's not bad.
Yeah.
It does the job. We like it. So okay, nothing more to add, Cameron.
No, that's it. I think I got through this episode without causing too much hurt, which is
No,
good.
you did well. You did very, very well. That has been episode 114 of the Down South Photo Show. We will catch you for episode 115 next week. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.